I had a feeling we were going to be talking to Kevin today. I don't know why. I just had a feeling.
Is that why Judas Priest is on?
No, I don't think this is officially the Kevin Pelton theme music, though.
It should be.
You know, I mean, when you hear Kevin, the first thing you're going to think is, oh, yeah, it's totally a Judas Priest fan. Totally. I mean, he just gives off that vibe. He really does. Joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, the world's number one Judas Priest fan, Kevin Pelton, NBA insider from ESPN. Right? I mean, that theme song is totally your jam, isn't it, Kev?
How did you know?
Don't lie to me. Do you like the damn music or no?
It's not my favorite.
No? But you know who they are, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, ultimate classic rock band right there. There's some good music by Judas Priest. That's another Breaking the Law, Living After Midnight. You've got another thing coming. They had a couple of good hits.
Yeah. I have a feeling every time Kevin comes on with us, he's like, what are those clowns going to throw at me today? What are they going to make me talk about today? I can't promise you because it's random in the computer, but we'll try to avoid the Judas
Priest. Look, just run the simulations. What's the Suns' chances against the Lakers in a 7-game series? We're stuck with the Lakers. We know it. They know it. Get back to the simulations, Kevin.
That's my real concern right now is I'm trying to log into the ESPN site to see their simulations.
Can you do that?
I can usually, but I've got it set up on my computer, and that's away from me. And it turns out I do not have the password on my phone, I guess.
Well, wait. We'll come back to us in a minute. Go run it 100,000 times before you come back. We need to know.
Kevin, we're gripping a little bit down here in the Valley. It's been a magical season for the Phoenix Suns in every way you could imagine. And look, I'll admit it. I've lived here my entire life. We've always had this, you know, kind of inferiority complex when it comes to the Lakers in Los Angeles. We're cursed with it here in Phoenix when it comes to the Suns. But we see what happens last night. Man, we don't want anything to do with that team in the first round of the playoffs. From your perspective, are we right to feel that way? Is this a matchup that needs to be avoided at all costs for this thing not to come to a premature end for the Suns?
I mean, I wouldn't say for it not to come to a premature end, because I think there's reason to think the Suns could win that series. But definitely, if you give me my choice out of, you know, the Lakers with LeBron, it sounds like, coming back, or Portland, or I guess Dallas, even though it seems like they're far enough ahead now that they may be out of that mix. There's no question that the Lakers are the last of those three choices.
Yeah, the other thing you look at, too, that we've had a lot of discussion on this today. The Suns are going to be the two seed. The Lakers are very likely going to have to play in that play-in game. But we are looking at the possibility that the Lakers may have to play the Golden State Warriors. If it holds up 7 plays 8, in a one-game series, anybody's got a puncher's chance, especially Steph Curry and the Warriors, because Steph could knock down 12 or 13 threes and he could beat them and send the Lakers into the 9-10 matchup. So that's the other thing you look at, too, is in a 7-game series, the Lakers would beat the Golden State Warriors. But in a one-game scenario, I think the Warriors, unlike Memphis or San Antonio, would have that puncher's chance.
I agree with that. I mean, I think it's a combination of factors. Number one, if you're the Warriors, you know, it's not the same team that won the championship in 2018 or those three titles, but there's enough pieces from that team in place, notably Steph Curry and Draymond Green. You're not going to be intimidated by anyone, even the defending champion Lakers. And then number two, like you said, you know, the combination of Steph Curry, as well as he's played over the last month and a half here, and the single game setting, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that if Lakers go into the play-in as the seventh seed, it means they're going to end up as the seventh seed.
Kevin Pelton from ESPN NBA Insider, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Just looking at the possibilities here, knowing that Memphis is only a half game back from Golden State going into the final week, of the teams that are involved in the play-in tournament, and right now it looks like it's going to be the Lakers at 7, the Warriors at 8, Memphis at 9, San Antonio at 10. Of those four, who is the ideal matchup for the Phoenix Suns in terms of a first-round matchup?
Well, I guess I would say San Antonio is probably the ideal matchup for anybody in terms of they're just the worst of those teams, especially with Derek White out of the lineup. And, you know, if Zion Williamson hadn't suffered the broken finger, I think New Orleans would be kind of knocking on that door for the 10th spot. So, you know, I don't think that's also the reason they're probably not going to come out of that play-in tournament. I think, you know, Memphis's lack of playoff experience would be a bit of an issue for them in this setting, in a playoff setting. That's obviously one of the concerns about Phoenix, is that outside of Chris Paul, the roster doesn't have, and Jay Crowder, the roster doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. Well, that's not going to be an issue if the guys you're going up against on the other side are Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., and they've never played in the playoffs either, although they did get that play-in game experience last year against Portland. So, you know, I think it's pretty clearly Memphis. I think you'd go, in terms of most favorable, Memphis, Warriors, Lakers, in that order.
You know, sometimes you talk yourself into things, and I think with the Lakers, I think I tried to talk myself into, hey, you know what, they're not playing well, they've lost 5 out of 6, they lost 10 out of 12, LeBron's hurt, Anthony's hurt, Schroeder's out. The good time to get them would be early, that the best time to get the Lakers might be in the first round before they get on a little bit of a roll. Was that foolish thinking?
No, I think that's completely reasonable. It certainly sounded a lot better before Anthony Davis's game last night, where, you know, he looked like a completely dominant force, and it's been progressive over the course of the week, where, you know, his first 5 games back from the injury, he was pretty dreadful, which, you know, makes sense. He was out an extended period of time, and they were asking him to carry a pretty heavy load at that point. But, you know, starting with their win over Denver, and he played very well in Portland on Friday night, even though they lost that game, and then continuing last night, he's looking more and more like AD. So that undercuts it, but you've still got not only LeBron coming back from the injury, but also Dennis Schroeder coming back from the time he spent in the health and safety protocols. So, you know, we'll see if he's back in time for the play-in tournament, but it's possible his first game action in several weeks could come in the playoffs. And, you know, we've seen guys struggle after time in the health and safety protocols, and I think it's only going to be accelerated if you're going from zero to playoff level of competition.
The other thing that we're kind of hanging our hat on around here when it comes to the Lakers, Kev, is that maybe the Lakers can recapture the 6th seed by catching Portland. Now, I know Portland won that big game on Friday night. They now have the tiebreaker. They're sitting alone in 6th. I've looked at the schedules trying to figure out, you know, how it can happen. And Portland's got a real tough schedule. I just don't know if any of the teams they're playing against are going to be resting guys this week or not. Should we give up on the Lakers catching Portland? And I know you don't have your password in front of you, so you're not running your simulations on this, but just based off of your familiarity with the situation, should we give up on the idea that the Lakers can catch Portland as the 6th seed?
I know enough of what the simulations were on Friday night that I have pretty good sense for it. Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on the key topic here, which is, are those last 3 teams going to have much incentive to play for Portland? And, you know, that could be the determining factor. And Phoenix now has a bit of an ability to help dictate that with how much effort they give on Thursday night going up against Portland. So, you know, it does look very difficult on paper. It might look more difficult if we get to Wednesday and Utah decides that a couple other starters are joining Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley and sitting out, because the Jazz also, you know, are looking at this and maybe wanting to manipulate things, and I'm sure that they would love to have the Lakers in that play-in tournament.
All right, I'm going to count these on my fingers. I want to see how many teams you think have a chance to win the NBA championship this year. Does Philly have a chance?
Yes.
Does Brooklyn have a chance?
Yes.
Does Milwaukee have a chance?
Yes.
The Knicks?
No.
Atlanta?
No.
Miami?
No.
Utah Jazz?
Yes.
Suns?
Yes.
Clippers?
Yes.
Nuggets?
Yes. Yes.
Dallas Mavericks?
No.
Portland?
No.
The Lakers?
Yes.
Golden State Warriors?
No.
All right, so you've got 8. This is crazy this year. There shouldn't be 8 teams that could win an NBA championship. It's never like this.
No, it's really unusual. And oftentimes, I think a lot of the time when we talk about how wide open it is, it's because we really don't recognize how good one of the contenders is. That happened in 2014-15, the Warriors' first title, where there was a lot of talk about the West being wide open. And then the Warriors, you know, they weren't unbeaten going through the conference playoffs. They got tested a couple of times, but it became clear that they were far and away the best team. And in hindsight, it doesn't seem as wide open as it did then. But, you know, this year, the combination of this unusual season, The number of in-season trades we've seen that have made a big difference, like Brooklyn coming together, and the fact that the most talented teams are probably the LA teams and Brooklyn, and those are going to end up, the Nets look most likely to be the third seed in the East, the Clippers most likely to be the third seed in the West, and then the Lakers potentially the seventh seed. So we've not usually had that big of a disconnect between the most talented teams and the highest seeds.
Thanks, as always, for putting up with our nonsense, Kevin. We really appreciate it.
We'll get that password.
It'll be a little different than simulations next time. We haven't had an actual playoff series one, so that's going to be fun.
And download Judas Priest's greatest hits for the next time we have you on.
Come on.
Kevin,
just want to know, Lakers-Suns simulation, how's it going to work out? We got to know.